is the successor to Moses in the Bible. So we've just had the Exodus from slavery in Egypt. God's people have been set free, 40 years wandering in the desert, and now they're about to come into the promised land and to conquer it. That great battle of Jericho of song and Sunday school fame is coming up in due course. So that's where we are in the story of the Bible. And the moment we're going to have Joshua chapter 2 read in two parts. But before we do that, I want to think about heroes. Not the little chocolates that you might enjoy, but people you might look up to and admire, or people who people might consider heroes. So has anyone got any suggestions of some heroes? Could be your hero, could be people generally thought of as heroes. Superman! Yes, I thought we might be in the Marvel Universe. Is he a Marvel one? Spider-Man? Sorry? DC, is he a different one? I didn't know until I was Googling that the Fantastic Four were subtitled the world's greatest heroes. Who knew? Can anyone remember who the Fantastic Four were? Test your comic book knowledge. Mr. Fantastic. It's not very original, is it? Invisible Woman, the Human Torch, and the Thing. Okay, so superheroes maybe. Any others? What else? Yes. Okay, now my historical knowledge is going to prove so weak and embarrassing here, Robert. Just help us. Is he a cricketer? No. Okay. Okay. Very impressive. There might be all sorts of wartime heroes. Yes, flying aces. Oh, giddy, okay, so a life of good works. But I thought you might say Nelson.
Yes, I was going to say Guy Gibson.
Okay, yeah. Yeah. Any others? Yeah. Oh, yeah, Nelson Mandela maybe, yes, okay. Okay, yeah. I thought you would all say Jack Morgan, who's just defeated the Australians in the rugby. But maybe it'll be the Lionesses. I don't know. The American Film Association has got a list, 100 greatest heroes. You know who their greatest film hero of all time is? You can tell it's an American list from this. It's Atticus Finch from To Kill a Mockingbird. Anyway, heroes, people we admire perhaps for their daring do or their courage or some aspect of greatness that they exemplify. And I just thought as we come to this reading, we might think, well, who are the heroes in this Bible reading? So Charles is going to kindly read the first part for us. Thank you, Charles.
Then Joshua, a son of Nun, secretly sent two spies from Shittim. Go, look over the land, he said, especially Jericho. So they went and entered the house of a prostitute named Rahab, and stayed there. The king of Jericho was told, look, some of the Israelites have come here tonight to spy out the land. So the king of Jericho sent this message to Rahab, bring out the men who came to you and entered your house, because they have come to spy out the whole land. But the woman had taken the two men and hidden them. She said, yes, the men came to me, but I did not know where they had come from. At dusk, when it was time to close the city gate, the men left. I don't know which way they went. Go after them quickly. You may catch up with them. But she had taken them up to the roof and hidden them under the stalks of flax she had laid out on the roof. So the men set out in pursuit of the spies on the road that leads to the fords of the Jordan. And as soon as the pursuers had gone out, the gates were shut.
This is the word of the Lord. Now, do you think there could possibly be any spies in today? I'm afraid I don't own a trench coat, but it struck me that with a beard and glasses, I was well on my way to a spy costume. The spy's daring do in hostile territory behind enemy lines, going to the city of Jericho, could seem quite heroic, couldn't it? And if you're a Bible reader, you might think, spies going into the promised land, we've been here before, haven't we? Do you remember this from Numbers chapter 13? Moses had sent spies into the promised land, and they'd come back with this report, oh, the people are giants, they're so terrifying, we can never invade the land. And the people had rebelled against Moses, and that's why they had to wander in the desert for 40 years. You might remember in that instance there were two good spies who said, come on, we can do it, God's on our side. So here's a kind of repeat and reversal of that story, isn't it? Because this time we just get the two good spies who go back and give this good report that everyone in the land is melting in fear of God and his people. So the spies here are certainly good and heroic. But what are they actually doing in our Bible reading? What do they do? What do they do? Grown-ups can help out the poor children here. They go into hiding. Do you think there could be any hiding spies in our marquee today? Under the trailer? Maybe.
On the trailer.
Maybe. What about under your seat? Just have a quick look under your seat, see if there could be any spies hiding under your... You really will need to do this, it'll be a very long service. Could you all please turn your seat and all the surrounding seats over? Thank you, please. Maybe particularly in this section. Could you have a look? You might need to even stand up. Marcus, anything under there? No, just lift up your seat. Everybody stand up, lift up your seat. Look under all the seats, please. Thank you. So this is all that passes for a gimmick. No. What about over here too? Is there anything in this area? Definitely. Have you checked all these? They could be very tiny spies. Oh dear. Oh, this is all going fantastically well. Do talk amongst yourselves. It's going to be such an anticlimax and disappointment when we actually find these spies. You sure there's nothing under there, Marcus? Yeah. Like, you know, lucky program, that sort of thing. No, Marcus, nothing under there. Go on, stand up. Go on.
Ah,
spy! And what about under there? Could there be a second spy hiding with him? Oh, there we go! You see, now is the most fun service you've ever been to in your life. The spies! Who obviously weren't Lego men, were hiding. So perhaps that's sensible, but not completely heroic, is it? I mean, who, in fact, would you say was the hero of that little reading that we had? Not really the spies, is it? Rahab, the prostitute. So she was a disreputable sort of person, a low-status person. And of course, she's not one of the Israelite spies who belong to the people of God. She's one of the foreign pagans. So she's quite a surprising hero, a surprising saviour. God seems to love to send a surprising saviour. And again, there's maybe a bit of a theme going on here, because the Bible says that in the Garden of Eden, Eve was deceived by the serpent. And then we seem to get a kind of whole series of women in the Bible who deceive the baddies. There's a kind of poetic justice that the devil's own medicine is turned against him. There's some echoes here perhaps of the Hebrew midwives. Do you remember them? They are told to kill all the baby boys. And they say, oh, the Hebrew women are just so vigorous. They're not like the Egyptians. Yet before we get there, they've given birth and we can't do it, Pharaoh. And they deceive the king and they get away with it. And Moses, you might remember, is hidden among the bulrushes. Maybe the spies hidden amongst the flax remind us of Moses. Perhaps there's a kind of echo of the Exodus story going on here. So Rahab, too, deceives the evil king and saves the lives of these Israelites. It's a kind of repeat of that story, isn't it? Well, let's have our second part of the reading, and we'll think about, well, who's the ultimate hero here?
Before the spies lay down for the night, she went up on the roof and said to them, "I know that the Lord has given you this land, and that a great fear of you has fallen on us, so that all who live in this country are melting in fear because of you. We have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to Sihon and Og, the two kings of the Amorites east of the Jordan, whom you completely destroyed. When we heard of it, our hearts melted in fear, and everyone's courage failed because of you. For the Lord your God is God in heaven above and on the earth below. Now then, please swear to me by the Lord that you will show kindness to my family, because I have shown kindness to you. Give me a sure sign that you will spare the lives of my father and mother, my brothers and sisters, and all who belong to them, and that you will save us from death. Our lives for your lives," the men assured her. "If you don't tell what we are doing, we will treat you kindly and faithfully when the Lord gives us the land." So she let them down by a rope through the window, for the house she lived in was part of the city wall. She said to them, "Go to the hills so the pursuers will not find you. Hide yourselves there 3 days until they return, and then go on your way." Now the men had said to her, "This oath you made us swear will not be binding on us unless, when we enter the land, you have tied this scarlet cord in the window through which you have let us down, and unless you have brought your father and mother, your brothers and all your family into your house. If any of them go outside your house into the street, their blood will be on their own heads. We will not be responsible. As for those who are in the house with you, their blood will be on our head if a hand is laid on them. But if you tell what we are doing, we will be released from the oath you made us swear." "Agreed," she replied. "Let it be as you say." So she sent them away, and they departed, and she tied the scarlet cord in the window. When they left, they went into the hills and stayed there 3 days, until the pursuers had searched all along the road and returned without finding them. Then the two men started back. They went down out of the hills, forded the river, and came to Joshua, son of Nun, and told him everything that had happened to them. They said to Joshua, "The Lord has surely given the whole land into our hands. All the people are melting in fear because of us. This is the word of the Lord."
Thanks be to God. And thank you to you, Annabelle. Now, I think I told you this old preacher's joke the other day of the Sunday school teacher who's talking to the stony-faced and uncooperative children, and he says to them, "Now, children, what's small and furry, it has big teeth and a bushy tail?" And the children sit there, implacable. "Not your father, no." And eventually, one of the children puts his hand up and says, "Well, I know the answer's always Jesus, but it sounds terribly like a squirrel to me." Thank you very much, polite laughter. So, who is the ultimate hero of the Bible? Well, it's always Jesus, isn't it? Always God. He's going to be the great, surprising saviour. And that's what Rahab has come to discover here. Everybody is melting in fear of this God because he's heard of his mighty acts that he's done. How he defeated the pagan kings, how he set his people free from slavery in Egypt and brought them through the Red Sea, and they were saved and their enemies were destroyed, we realise that the God of the Hebrews, the God of Israel, the God of the Bible, is not only the God of that country, but the God of heaven and earth. He's the great hero, the one who's going to judge and save. And so Rahab shows great courage, doesn't she, to go against her whole country, really, her whole town, and pin her hopes on God and his people. She's an amazing example of faith, of putting her faith in God, the great hero of the Bible. Again, there are some repeats of other Bible stories going on there, aren't there? Because in Rahab's house, there's going to be safety and salvation. And then all around, there's going to be death and destruction. It's like Rahab's house is a new ark in which she and her household can be saved. It's like a new Passover, isn't it? Do you remember the Passover? The people of Israel had to put the blood of the lamb, that red blood, on their doorposts, and then everyone in the household will be saved, and all around there'd be judgment and destruction. Well, Rahab has to put that red cord out of her window and get all her family inside, and everyone who's there will be saved. And so it is in the Bible with the Lord Jesus. He's the new ark. He's going to bring a new Passover. To be in Jesus, to be trusting in his blood, is to be safe and secure and saved. God's judgment will come, but God will rescue all those who trust in Jesus. The church, the family of God, the household of God, is like a new ark for this new Passover. God is the great hero of the Bible, and Rahab shows us that anyone who pins their hopes on him can be rescued. She's the mother-in-law of Ruth, who's another foreigner who pins her hopes on God and his people. Actually, Jesus himself has descended from Rahab. She's mentioned in his genealogy, this surprising, disreputable foreign woman. She shows us that anyone who comes to Jesus can be included and saved. Let's just be quiet for a moment, and then I'll lead us in a prayer. Father God, we thank you that you welcome all those who trust in Jesus, whoever they are, whatever they've done. Help us to have courage and faith, and to freely welcome others too, for Jesus' sake. Amen.